You're listening to Off the X with your hosts, Forrest Carvajal, Tyler Wells, Matt Covington, and Barrett Moon. Brought to you by Pond Creek Duck Calls. Call with confidence. Otis Arms, built for the outdoors. Hella Dry Gear. Rixie Outdoors. Huntproof, the premier waterfowl mobile app. Pattern Pros, where simplicity meets results. And Wellens Land, Arkansas's leading recreational real estate and development group.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Off the X Podcast. I'm Forrest Carvajal, here with my best good friends, Mr. Tyler Wells. How are you?
I'm good.
Mr. Barrett Moon, how about you?
I'm good.
We have microphones in hand tonight because we have three other guests in person. Pattern Pros, official partners of the podcast. So, Christian, we're going to start with you because you're the furthest away from me. How are you, sir, as you pick it? What are you picking at over there?
Oh, I just this little tab that I use for that cork.
No, they don't know.
I'm a lot warmer now.
They don't know about the cork just yet. We'll get into that one next.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Way to ruin the surprise.
I'm sorry.
Then we've got Ryan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing excellent. Shooting stuff.
And Brody.
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
Don't say too much.
They brought something. They brought something really special since we do the bourbon reviews. Brody, you were the one that brought it, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what you brought?
So, a dead guy's whiskey.
he was dead before down. You got the whiskey. Disclaimer, we didn't kill the guy and they got the whiskey.
This 1972, what is it? Weller Stelzer.
Old Cabin Still.
Yeah, something like that from 1972. It's a Ducks Unlimited Edition. What do you call that?
It's a Ducks Unlimited Edition decanter.
Decanter.
Yeah, and it's Wings Across the Continent. Old Cabin Still, true handmade bourbon from, what did you say, 1972 is what we've got on the decanter.
Yep. So,
unopened. So this is the first opening of this.
Great uncle bottle. Passed away, and my grandma said, oh, it's got ducks on it, so you duck hunt. You can have it. And it was unopened.
Yeah, maybe you should have said it wasn't just a dead guy's whiskey.
It's a dead
guy's
whiskey.
It's not like I hit a guy in my truck on the way over here, like that was his whiskey.
Now we're gonna taste this thing. It smells so strong.
I haven't tasted it yet. Oh, Barrett's getting ready.
Hey, get all the cork out of it when you drank it.
The cork is part of it.
Yeah, the cork disintegrated and has become part of the whiskey now.
Back in the 70s when men were men.
Oh, it's good. It's really good. Try that. Yeah. So it's you really think that it's going to have a lot of bite, and it's got a little bit, but it has a lot of taste to it.
I'm sure
it's got a nice color to it.
Yeah, it's 52 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's deep brown. It's got a good color to it. I really thought it was going to be rough with the smell coming out of the bottle.
The look on your eyes was like, this is going to be...
this is going to hurt.
But now it's... I mean, you get a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let it settle on the tongue.
That is very delightful. Cork included.
Cork and all.
I tried to get all the cork out.
If you're not drinking...
Well, were you guys whiskey is now.
Were you just swishing around in your mouth and holding the rest of the cork in your mouth and spitting it back in the...
Yeah, you got to treat it like sunflower seeds.
I figured this would have been perfect for you guys, so now it's
We may get a little less cork.
Yeah, I mean, that's really
is
good.
It's
a whole lot better.
I
mean,
like, I don't know nothing about...
Don't you guys... You rate them most of the time, don't you?
We don't actually rate.
Is it better than Marker's Mark?
Maker's Mark? I don't know, man.
Maker's Mark
is it's like a Swiss Army knife or a Leatherman of whiskey. It's good for everything.
It's not bad.
it's not bad.
You know, and I'm not a bourbon guy, but like it doesn't really, like you said, it doesn't really bite. Like,
not bad.
Feel it behind the ear.
I was trying to keep my lips closed.
I thought it was pretty smooth. Like for as dark as it is, it's very smooth. It did not bite a whole lot on the back end of it. At least I didn't think so.
That smells good.
Yeah, it's got a pretty strong smell to it.
My lips are a little numb, but nothing big.
It's the cocaine. That's also 1972, so they put anything in these.
Yeah, we brought Rick James on for the show as well.
So do you know what we call it syrupy, but I found out from my cousin in DeWitt that actually has a name to it. You know what those are called as it drips down?
Streamers?
The legs.
The legs.
The legs.
Oh.
Yeah. It's got legs. Yeah.
It can walk.
But there's like a, it's like it determines the viscosity and alcohol level content or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got to look into it more. I don't want to like butcher it and say it has good legs or not, because I don't know that, in fact, what is good legs. But it does have a lot of legs coming down on the glass. So yeah. I like it. It seems like sipping whiskey.
Oh, well, yeah, it's met its new home. I'm glad it's yeah. You guys like it. Didn't come out like fuzzy or something. I didn't know what was in this thing. I mean, it's twice as old as me.
It's got a little bit of oak to it.
A little bit of cork.
A
little bit of cork tree.
But
what you got over there, Christian?
Sticking your beak in it, dude.
He's like, man, I'm telling you. It is still very rich for it to be so old.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just like Joe Biden, so old, so rich.
I definitely taste the barrel still. I think it's pretty rich. I think it's really nice. That's a sipper.
Don't pass it back.
Dude, I can sip a lot of that. That's not hard on you at all.
No, that's good. That's dangerous.
I don't know how much is in there. It doesn't look like there's a lot.
That's really good stuff.
I'm actually really impressed. I would think I was going something a little older. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
A little tree for Off the X. How about that?
Yeah, that's a huge tree, man. We're not ever going to have one of those again.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll find another one at like a thrift store or something.
How many uncles you got?
Not many.
Who is playing this out?
What's funny about it, he's like,
y'all come back in 3 years.
He wasn't a hunter. He didn't duck hunt or anything. He shoot horses, and he just, I guess he
what? I'm sorry.
He shoot horses?
That was shoot horses. He's a farrier.
Oh, shoot, not shea. He's like, he shot horses for a living.
He's a horse hunter.
That's a profession.
This guy's out here killing horses.
He gave up elk hunting, and he shot horses.
He's Dwight's horse doctor.
There was just 20 of them. They were all in a pen. They wouldn't run.
Wild Mustang, right there.
They got a tag for that, Oklahoma?
But yeah, and he was never a duck hunter, so I was very surprised that like he had this, and I was like, wow, that's
leather vest on top of him.
That's cool. No, we appreciate it.
No, I think it's. Yeah, that. I mean, that's like I said, that's a treat. Really, I mean, very grateful that y'all brought that. But let's talk a little bit about y'all's trip. Y'all came in yesterday or the day before?
I don't know. What's today?
Well, today is Saturday.
Y'all came in on Thursday. Okay. Me and Christian.
When did you guys decide you were going to come try and hunt Arkansas?
Probably when...
Last week.
The first pot. The first time on the podcast back in September, and you guys were like, yeah, like, come on down. And I'm like, well, that sounds awesome, because I have nothing but wood ducks in South Carolina. And we just kept on talking.
That's about all we had.
What all did you shoot today?
I got to kill
wood ducks,
two mallards in the timber, and a wood duck in the timber. Yeah. So I'm.
No, I didn't tell my wife that I was coming here until Wednesday, and she was not the happiest lady in the world. And I was like, "Yeah, that's just what's going to happen."
So you were basically like, well, "Hey, I'm leaving tomorrow, and is the quicker I get away from you, the." Less likely I am to get hurt.
She hates me during hunting season. I'm gone all the time.
He just said he was going duck hunting. He didn't say what state.
I'm only
three and a half hours away. Like, we'll be fine. Like, it's not a big deal. So, of course, during the winter storm that's happening in Oklahoma right now. So
that's true. We got to get y'all back before the storm stuff gets here.
Happier even more with the storm happening. No, I'm not there.
So you came in on Thursday. Did y'all hunt Friday morning?
We were playing.
That was what y'all did. That's right. That Friday morning, it rained really hard. Wind was blowing like crazy. So y'all slept in, which was probably a really good idea. And then that afternoon, y'all and Tyler and Barrett went on a goose hunt. So who wants to set that one up?
All right. Well, I'll set it up.
So it was a Friday afternoon?
So we had a bad storm roll through Thursday night, Friday morning. We got a lot of rain, so I mean, we picked up a bunch of sheet water. Ducks and geese scattered pretty well. Place we'd been watching for a few days beforehand had a feed of geese on it. When we pulled up that afternoon, it actually had, two or three feeds sitting, you know, in between, and we just got in the middle of them to run traffic across everything. So we got out there, got set up on them. We bumped birds out of the field right where we were setting up at, so that helped. And as we're setting blinds up, Ryan pulls up and smokes a, was a snow goose?
Yeah. Well, let me rewind. So we show up, wind gusts are anywhere from 25 to 35 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, I've completely skipped over the silo on the opposite side of the road.
Yeah. So, and what cracked me up is, so we pull up and Tyler, the guys, Ryan and them, were kind of getting everything ready, and Tyler kind of leans over to me and he's like, "This is the dumbest thing we've ever done."
Dude, you couldn't open a truck door without trying to rip it out of your hands.
Yeah, it was, the wind was horrible. But it we went out there and made the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, so, I'd say we had a pretty good evening. Killed 11, right? 12.
Was it 12 or 11?
It was
We yeah, so double counted a snow, so it ended up being 11.
Yeah. Oh, so 11. 11.
Counting over 10 is difficult.
So. I mean, yeah, they would have had to take shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good hunt, though. I mean, we worked those birds in real good, and with having two big feeds like that and just pulling singles and pairs off of them, I feel like we had a successful hunt. I mean, Ryan told me, he's like, "I just want to kill two specks and a greenhead." And we're done.
I didn't shoot a speck yet, so we got a load. We got an army crawl.
There were specks killed.
There were specks killed. Yeah, that was for sure.
Well, what was y'all's take on it?
As a duck guy, I mean, it was fun. Don't get me wrong, but the mallards, they get me going better in the trees. So, like,
have y'all been on many goose hunts?
Not really. No, I mean, like, and plus, I brought the wrong gun. I was shooting my 20 gauge number fours
in the hurricane,
and these shots were like 50 yards. So I was like, I was a supporting.
You just butchered them, telling them, man, y'all couldn't get them inside 50.
I was a supporting role on that one. I wasn't killing anything. So I killed two snows. So that was about it.
So, ain't nothing wrong with that. What about you?
I had the, we weren't even barely in the blind yet, and Barrett wasn't even back from dropping the side by side off, and a snow comes over behind us, and I almost get stuck in the freaking blind. I pull up, and I'm like, well, it's not. It's close, plenty close enough. And Forrest didn't call the shot, but it was like,
whoa, 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 Forrest.
Yeah. I just can't stop thinking of Forrest.
You're in their spirit, you know.
And I pull up and shoot, and it was dead before it hit the ground. And
yeah, sailing.
I thought I was about to get called for something. I wasn't even there.
Yeah, we're blaming you.
And then a few minutes later, we had a nice eagle head come over. And it hung up there, and I looked at it, and I go, yes, yes or no? And Tyler and Barrett go, yeah, shoot him. And I pull up, and that was it.
Which this surprised me, because y'all told me earlier on in y'all's hunt that y'all had killed an eagle head. Barrett's been wanting to kill an eagle head for a while, so I was like, I wonder if Barrett actually got his eagle head yet.
My gun wasn't even loaded when he shot that one.
Have you never killed one?
Not an eagle head.
Oh, wow.
I've only killed one or two snow geese in general.
What's the difference between the eagle head and the blues and the snows? We were kind of talking about this.
You might have to have a biologist to tell you that, because I don't know the geese well enough to give you an exact answer why one is one way and the other is not.
The eagle heads are
blue with that white head on them. Yeah. I don't know what genetic makes it that way or what phase they're in or something or another, but they're a little bit more unique. They're prettier.
They're really pretty.
Yeah. They look really good.
And the one that we shot actually was not torn up either. I think you're planning.
No, I hit it. Right? I hit it. Yeah, I hit it right in the bottom of the head.
Yeah.
And that's gonna get me out of there.
Folded
that
up.
That was an expensive shot.
That was the first shot that I witnessed them pull the trigger on, and when he hit that bird,
at
honestly,
70 yards.
The shot was impressive. So and the first thing I thought of was like, yeah, he probably patterned that gun to figure out what that distance was, because I mean, that bird, when he hit him and where he hit him at with the wind, I was like,
that was a good shot.
A great shot.
I had shot that the Boss 2 3/4 number fives, and I knew at 40 yards of that full choke, like I was in the money. So I felt real good about it.
He closed his eyes and just threw it up there. He's like, I think that's what it is. Jesus hit the wheel, yeah.
I'm impressed that the smaller size shot did so well in the wind, because I've always heard that the smaller shot gets blown around a little bit easier.
I guess, I mean, the bismuth, I guess it just gets carrying a little bit.
It is carrying more kinetic energy, I guess, if you've got a tighter pattern and the weight of the bismuth is heavier.
Well, that's the thing with the war cheese, is it's got that buffer in it. It's got that proprietary wad in that buffer, so that buffer is going to help the set pack of it. So you get a little tighter pattern with it, a little extended range. A lot of guys have been shooting them with geese this year is what I've seen, and doing great, just because I mean their patterns are more condensed. So
are all three of y'all shooting War Chief?
No, I'm not shooting War Chief. Not in the 28. I'm just shooting regular balls.
Yeah. Okay. Were you shooting War Chief yesterday? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. You just said that. Yeah. Sorry, missed it.
I don't know if I did. I don't know if I said War Chief, but yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's what it was. And Christian was shooting
boss and federal.
Yeah.
Whatever you can find in the bottom of
Christian,
the
how was your goose experience?
I was a great anchor for the hunt.
did you shoot any?
Yeah, I shot two.
Okay.
We shot at them at least.
And then one of them tried to run it away. we rang his neck a couple times, and then I rang his neck a couple times. After, I think Barrett had rung his neck a couple times. Because the dog brought him to the blind. You rang him a couple times, threw him over. I rang him a couple times, and then I threw him back on the pile, and as soon as he hit the pile, he just darted right in between me and Tyler, just right out the door.
Just like a chicken running through the blind.
He was waiting on that moment, but I'd like to mention that he was alive for...
That was at least 20 minutes.
Most of his life. He was alive. He was sitting all the way to the very end.
He was sitting still in the blind, just camouflaged in the pile, and then I threw him back. When he hit the ground, he saw the door. He was like, "I'm out."
I just heard the commotion. All of a sudden, Tyler's shouldering his gun, looking down the levee. I'm like, "What is happening right now?"
Yeah.
Boom. And I was expecting him to be like 10 feet away. I'm like, "This thing's going to be destroyed."
He got out there, huh?
He got like 15, 20 yards out there?
Like he was never shot.
He thought he was getting away.
Like we didn't just ring him twice and shoot him.
You got to give him the old head crunch, dude.
So y'all shot snows, an eagle head, speckle belly. Did y'all get a Ross too?
Yeah,
a Ross. So y'all got like the whole grand slam of geese.
Shot a Ross.
Except you didn't get a Canada. I guess that would be the only one that you could toss in there. We tried today. That's true. We'll get to today here in a minute.
We'll try it.
But as far as like the Grand Prairie, y'all got the main. Y'all got all four of them. You know, so that's pretty cool that y'all are able to do that. That's cool. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to have that variety. So
new to me.
It was cool.
I've never been on a goose hunt.
It was cool to see that many birds. Like, it was just like, hey, there's tens of thousands of birds right there. And it was...
Yeah, it's hard to compete.
It was really cool to watch. And there was definitely a couple times where we popped up to shoot birds, and we're like, they're right there. And then you pull up, and you're like...
Oh, that's way further.
Well, that's a little... they're going like 0.1 miles an hour coming into the 30-mile-an-hour winds, too. Man, so it took forever.
Oh, if you're watching them, because you talked about this earlier, you had a little hole in the blind that you're watching. When you look through those little small holes in the blind, they look like they're way closer than what they are. Then you pop up out of the blind, and you're like, well, I've made a mistake. That goose is not near close enough.
They were working birds, and then Ryan's like, dude, there's one in the decoys.
I go, oh, my God, there's one of the decoys. Look, he was over the decoys, and I was like, yeah, there was no question.
Did y'all kill that one?
Yeah.
That's
I didn't. No,
avian flu.
It was. I mean, but he was like 3 feet over the decoys. I was like, there was no question.
That's the one the 20 gauge actually shot. It was just one shot. I was like, all right, we got
it. I didn't even pull up. I just stared at it. I was like, all right, well, somebody's gonna kill this thing, and he was done.
I'm glad y'all had a good experience. How did Tyler and Barrett? How did y'all? Because we don't goose hunt just a whole heck of a lot. So y'all's experience of it, what was it like yesterday? Yesterday.
Better than the first goose hunt we went on.
I don't even want to talk about that one.
That was my first goose hunt for the year, so I thought it was a success.
Tyler's had a great year so far.
I'm one for one.
I'm almost sworn off on geese.
So I mean, it was a good hunt. They didn't like a lot of calling, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just wanted like a single cluck, and that was it.
They wanted Tyler's really kind of low, gravelly pitch, and then finished, I mean, with a single cluck. And then we put out a dozen and a half full bodies.
Yeah.
And we put out maybe a dozen and a half sock spec snow mix, and that was it.
So not a gigantic spread like what we have been doing.
No.
So you went smaller.
Went smaller.
I like that.
I don't know what would have happened if we would have put out a big spread.
I think it probably would have helped. I mean, it was just there was tens of thousands of live geese 1,000 yards away. Yeah. So it's
Yeah.
The
fact that we ran traffic on the birds, I was really happy with.
And the wind was blowing like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah. We could have killed more.
If we had faced the other direction.
I mean, we got surprised a whole lot behind. It's like, oh, there's one 20 yards behind me.
Yeah.
But I can't. I don't have eyes at the back of my head, so
Yeah, we made Christian sit facing the opposite way so he could warn us that, because after a while, so I mean, we had shoot. Several just like low on us.
Even then, they would still surprise him, like, did you say anything? No, I was looking at him.
We had like two from over the top, and Christian, and we were like, dude, did you not see those?
I was looking at the 10,000 over here. I didn't know where to look.
I forgot my job. I'm sorry. What am I supposed to do?
Well, you know, I took the first shot, and immediately Tyler and Barrett were like, "Hey, why don't you just go ahead and turn around?"
Did you miss the first shot? Like, just go ahead and unload.
You got put in the penalty box.
Take your 12. Would you sit
this one out? Oh, shoot.
Huck, you go ahead and take a break. Christian, go get the birds.
How did Huck do yesterday?
He did fantastic.
Killed it.
He was tired. I'll say that.
Huck always does great. He always does great. But it's been a minute since he's got to pick up some geese, hasn't it?
Chased a lot of cripples down yesterday.
Super excited.
The one, like,
and he helped us call too. Yeah. He did a great job.
He did that today. We'll talk about that too.
We had three that came in, and Tyler called the shot with some phenomenal words. One of them was still alive and kept on trying to get up, and it started to fly, but it could only fly like 10 yards, and Huck was hauling.
Yeah, you are not outrunning that dog.
No. Nope.
We thought we were going to have to shoot it again. It looked like it was going to get up, and it just, for whatever reason, could not go, and he finally just manhandled it, and that was it.
That's awesome. Well, let's move into this morning. So yesterday, the temp was like somewhere around freezing. And then you add in the 25-mile-an-hour wind, it was butthole puckered cold. It was brutal. So, yeah. Then today, it was, what was it this morning? It was 25 or 26?
27,
but it was not near, we did not have near that kind of wind this morning. We had sun, went to the woods after some ducks. How did y'all's first experience in the woods go?
Christian?
It was a lot better being out, lot better. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm so used to things. You having to pay attention behind me. I thought somebody behind me was going to say something. So, no, it was. I think it was nice. I mean, thanks for the donation, extra jacket. That really helped me out this morning.
You gave him a jacket?
No, he didn't give me a jacket. But I thought we had a pretty good hunt this morning. The boat ride was. I was anticipating the boat ride being a lot longer. And so when I first sat down, I think I looked at him and I said, I'm definitely going with my back turned. I know how this plays out.
Well, yeah, you're used to riding down the river with Brody going 30 miles an hour.
14.
I'm pouring coals to it, dude. Like, I'm not waiting around.
Yeah. But I always enjoy hunting timber because you never really know where the birds are going to come from, which makes it pretty exciting. You know, you can't see them coming from far off. So you're really, the entire time you're having a great conversation, but you're hearing jokes, you're also paying attention to all around you, which was cool. So I really enjoyed it.
We definitely had early wood ducks for sure, and it was chaos there for the first 15 or 20 minutes. Yep. With the wood ducks,
pretty western for sure.
Ryan, how did you your experience of the hunt?
I had told Tyler, I was like, I just want to kill one mallard drake in the timber. I just want him just to do it right, and I got that accomplished.
Mission so accomplished.
It was, he came in just, I mean, nowhere actually near the decoys, but just quiet, and just all of a sudden he was locked up and shot him at, I don't know, 25 yards. And
did anybody check the boat for like pellet holes?
No.
After that shot,
but no, I mean,
that's true. That duck came in behind us, not necessarily the hole that we were hunting, but a smaller hole that was behind us. But
we got to watch him come in the whole way. I think he saw him probably from 200 yards or 150 yards away, and it was just like,
I was doing what Christian did yesterday, and I was looking the other way. That's why I seen it.
Yeah. He just, here he comes.
It helps.
Yeah.
Did you?
You're like, look at that. Just like, look at that.
I bet my eyes were as big as freaking dinner plates because I was like, oh, man. And just, it was perfect.
He's the only one that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, I was like,
he poofed
it.
I mean, he pillowcased it.
Yeah.
So
I would hope so. I mean, that was right.
Yeah, it was like,
you missed that shot, I'm disowning you.
Yeah. that's
you don't let that green get out of there.
That's when it's time to retire. But and then me and Tyler crossed streams on a Woody on the water. So that
first duck of the morning.
Yep.
Very early light.
And then we had Mallard Drake and a hen do it real good. And killed the hen, and then I don't know who. Mm-mm. Tyler, did you shoot the Drake? Who shot the Drake?
Which one?
Are you talking about the three mallard that landed?
Oh, no, the mallard. The mallard. We had the hen and the Drake.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I shot it.
I had microphones coming everywhere. But yeah, we had a pair working around, and they ended up coming in crossing everybody, and I really figured they were going to get shot in the middle of the hole, but when they started picking back up, I went ahead and called the shot, and everybody did good. We cleaned them up, so didn't have any...
I didn't even shoulder my gun on that one. Through the window.
We, are you locked out?
He's locked out. No, you need to come over here and talk. He's the one out. Person that I was about to ask his opinion next just gets up from the table and walks off. Good grief. Lord, you're the guest. You're not supposed to be doing that.
Nobody puts Barrett in the corner.
When Brody gets back to the table, we'll ask him of his opinion since he hated the goose hunt. He didn't say it. He said it in nice words. But he actually was like, man, I hate geese. I don't ever want to do that again for the rest of my life.
Geese
so
don't work, man.
How was your duck hunt this morning?
It's very, very similar to the timber in Oklahoma. The only difference is it's way more open, no buck brush. Like in Oklahoma, you're like breaking through stuff. You're like, all right, they're still going to land in here. But here, it's actually managed. And you can find the ducks that you shoot.
We did not let any get away. That's true.
It was a fun time, especially when the three wood ducks come in and one of them was banded. We just
You just totally shot. Man. We were leading up to that. Golly. Had an entire story lined up. Well, now nobody's going to hear it.
Don't worry. We will beat and break him off camera.
Hit record. This episode's over.
But, I'm just glad that you guys get to shoot some mallards and stuff when you come to visit South Carolina. You don't get that. So, I mean.
I think there's 10 mallards in the whole state.
I didn't even shoulder my gun on any of these mallards today.
What happened was we killed one wood duck.
Yeah.
You know, we were happy about it. Like, oh, hey, yay, no skunk. And then we had two wood ducks come in behind us. Mm-hmm. And Tyler and Brody both, boom, 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 boom.
They killed one shot killed, each well, at the whatever. Same time.
Fine, boom, boom.
Exact. Yeah, that was too many booms. There we go. One shot.
Yeah, it's pretty much what Tyler it felt like.
Boom.
Sorry, I'm not giving him enough credit. Killed both wood ducks that were behind us. Well, I tried to send Owen on them, but they were behind the tree. He didn't see where they were. He was swimming. We haven't worked on taking casts while he's swimming. Didn't work. I brought him back. Well, they were in the current, so they were actually just getting farther and farther away. So Tyler took Huck with him, and they both went, and Huck got both the ducks back. Tyler brings them back. He hands us the Drake first. And then it's kind of like he's holding the hen just a little under his arm.
Yeah, you know, really hiding that one.
Just kind of hiding it. And then he just holds it up for everybody to see. What did you think? Tell us about picking up the band.
So when I took Huck over to pick him up, I sent him up after, and he picked the closest one up, brought it back to me. I resent him back again. I was standing in like it was a little over waist-deep water, so I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was making sure he got the other one. And then on my way back, I switched from the wing from holding it by the wing to the leg, and I felt something in my hand. I was like, "That's got to be a band." I didn't even look at it. I got close and glanced at it, and I just looked over at Ryan. He's like, eyes are just like, "What are you doing?"
He was staring at me the whole time, and I'm like, and he's covering the leg. I'm like, "Oh, clearly he's messing with me." And then he got a little bit closer and opened his hand up just enough, and I was like, "Oh man!"
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty impressive. It was an old band, 2018, so
from Iowa.
Yeah, from up in Iowa. So I mean, that was that's impressive. So
sorry. No, that was a fun start to the morning because I mean we'd only been hunting for 15 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah,
and we had chaos, and then we have a band, and it was just. Like, the hunt was awesome at that point. For me, anyhow, I haven't seen a band in a while, so I was thrilled. I was just ecstatic about it. Have any of y'all killed a band before?
I did in 2019 in Camp Pendleton, California.
Yeah.
Drake mile Gadwall. From my house.
Yeah. Very nice.
It was a gadwall.
Yeah.
Band wow. In Salt Lake City, Utah.
The only reason he killed it was he actually slept in that morning, which is the only time that's ever happened.
Yeah, that's the
And I time. He was supposed to pick me up, and I hadn't heard from him, and I left, and I called him, and he did that, like, I'm like, "You getting up?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'll meet you there." And
yep,
hour and a half later,
four gadwalls came in.
You
I
killed
took the two to
them.
The right, obviously folded them because I'm a G. Ryan's out there.
I sailed mine because I like to get a good workout in. Because
he's not a G, and I go over there to pick it up. grabbed by the feet because it's tits up. And I'm like, oh, hey, cool. I got a band. And he's like, stop messing with me. Like, all right, cool. Walks back. And I was like, you want to check out my band? And he's like, yeah. Sure enough, it was a band.
Good grief.
And so that was the, you know, I've banded shot, gadwall. I have shot a lot of ducks in Oklahoma and never seen any of them banded.
Never. And you've seen never. Banded gadwall in California and a banded wood duck in Arkansas?
Yeah, everywhere but Oklahoma. And so when I go to California, where I expect to never shoot any ducks because I wrote that place off, and I shoot a banded gadwall, you know, a mile from my house and a mile from where they do boot camp.
Holy cow.
I was watching recruits like walk around in the mountains. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm duck hunting while they're suffering. This is pretty cool. that's what it was like.
We were also like 50 yards off a main road, too.
And it was, it was the whole situation.
Facing was in a safe direction.
Spot.
Such an odd thing. Yeah.
As you cut your eyes spot. Left and right.
No, it was like you were faced away, but it still just was like, there's people going to work right there.
Yep.
Have either of you two killed a band?
No.
That's only the. I've seen three banded ducks, and Brody's been two of them. So
I don't know if I killed that one this morning. We're doing a 50-50 shot, I guess we say that. I mean,
oh, you never know. No, you like, you something like that.
The cool thing is the band. Yeah, you picked. Yeah. Needless to say, I picked wrong.
Yeah.
And I suck, and I don't have the band on my lanyard right now. So.
I think Tyler had home field advantage.
Try again.
That's what it was. He paid him some money on that one.
His buddy did have the bet. We'll post the video.
I saw him slip Christian $50.
Your buddy.
How we decided who gets the band. We'll post that video at some point. But yeah, it was funny to watch. Did y'all have anything that stuck out about the hunt today? Because for me, up until this point, six is the best that I've seen killed in one hunt. And today was the third time that I've seen six get killed. So it's been a very, very difficult year, at least for me. These other guys have had some really good hunts. But how about y'all? How has y'all's season elsewhere been?
I've only been, I think, three times. And we killed a couple of limits of wood ducks in South Carolina. But obviously, that's about all we got. So
Florida has no comment.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a chance to get tapped into the – panhandle like I wanted to. I did do a lot of research, and I kind of figured out there's a big reservation in WMA that's just south of me that a lot of individuals will go out there and hunt, but you have to fight the gators for them. So that's interesting.
Not doing that with the lizards. Yeah,
that's the trade-off, right? That. Yeah, you can get plenty of redheads, but you're going to have to fight some gators for them.
Can you shoot the gators legally?
If you have a permit, yeah. Yeah.
How many are you allowed to kill?
I think only one in the panhandle.
Rules of engagement if it's attacking you.
Which is really weird because it's a large population of them.
What's classified as them attacking you?
Just get close to it. I mean,
underwater?
That's kind of how I feel attacked very often with the alligators.
Self-defense.
So.
Sir, you were on a bridge 100 yards away.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
He made the move.
You had a 308.
He first.
Yeah, looked at me weird.
308 at 350. You looked at first. But I think I didn't get a whole lot of time to hunt this year. Then the couple times that I did, I went up to South Carolina and we hunted, which that was a good hunt. I mean, we were in and out of there.
Yeah, we killed six woodies in 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Good grief!
That was a really good hunt. We were home before the kids were awake.
You drove all the way to South Carolina for 4 minutes of hunting.
Well, our families come together once a year.
His wife's used to that.
So. So I was like, while we're here, we might as well try to get a hunt in.
Yeah, I remember getting the text. I was standing in a timber hole, and he was like, we're done.
We're done.
I figured there's 200 in a 50-yard wide hole.
Yeah.
You should be done pretty quick. But no, Oklahoma's been pretty tough.
Has it?
The first half, we had a bunch of local birds. So I posted a video, and there I found this little spot that had about 3,500 birds in it. And for the first 15 minutes of light, I didn't shoot. I was just watching. They're flying like in between us. Oh, and so gosh. I was like, hey, if I'm going to kick this thing off and we're going to start shooting, I'm going to kick it off with a penny drake. And so I picked one floating to the right and dropped. And then it was Fallujah just kicked off. Like, dude, guns just going everywhere. I'm like, hey, we need to slow down. I mean, I think we shot 24 teal. We shot 36 total for that veterans hunt. And then a couple weeks after that, it was consistently chipping away here and there. Couple limits, and then December was a tiresome time. I mean, we had to just drive
stale birds,
just drive, find them. You know, it was it like we, you know, like last weekend we did a 15-mile boat ride to find some, which sucked. I mean, we killed a limit, but I worked for that.
Yeah. Like it, sounds like y'all need another boat ramp.
Caloric intake. Well, that's the thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
We could have put in this spot, but it was private. You can't ever get a hold of that guy. So I'm like, well, this is kind of out in the boondocks. Unless you want your truck in all four blocks. I don't recommend dropping the boat right here because I'd like to go home. It's an hour and a half drive away. But now with the weather coming in, we should have a push of birds. We should. That if we don't have a push of birds now, then I'm going to just die. I'm going to be super, super upset. So,
well, we talked about some of the good shots that y'all have made, at least on this trip.
No, I missed and, so many times.
Well, Ryan has made some good shots.
Yeah.
So let's get it. We've had y'all on the podcast, Pattern Pros. I mean, that's y'all's game. Pattern your guns. Y'all offer two packs, or have y'all increased that?
So the 12 gauge packs and then the 20 gauge packs. And then,
so for 12 gauge, we have pack one and pack two, and right. each one we have shot size 2 and 3. And then for the 20 gauge, we have just pack one, which is shot size 2.
Okay, so y'all offer those packs, which is outstanding, especially before season. You can figure out what brand of shells works best in your gun, which somebody over here, his Winchester doesn't seem to like any shells.
We're figuring it out.
we're figuring it out.
That doesn't help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
we're working through the motions on both of them. If you know.
Oh my gosh, this train's going off the rails. The next season that's coming up is turkey season. Mm-hmm. I don't turkey hunt in any way. Tyler's done it before. Barrett's never done it. Y'all have something coming for turkey season?
Yes. So we're going to have 12, 20, and 410 boxes for turkey.
Same concept.
Yep, same concept. But it's going to be 3 shells total in a box. So it's going to be kind of a cheap shell, a mid-grade, and then a TSS load, at least for 12 and 20. And then for 410, most of those loads are all TSS. So it'll be 3 TSS loads. But
it's 3 different brands too.
That's yeah. Right. So it's really going to let you see whether or not that TSS load is worth it. Cause we all know it's TSS. You really can't beat it. But like for me, like where I hunt in South Carolina, a lot of the birds come out of the swamp. So a 25, 30 yard shot is most of the time what you're going to get. Like last year I killed my Tom with Winchester Super X, which is $10 for a box of 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I patterned the gun. I knew about 40 yards was all I was going to get. But he came into 25 yards with another bird and dead is dead. So some of these guys, I mean, they're spending
hundreds.
I mean, 70, 80 plus dollars for a box of 5 loads
really?
Of TSS. Yeah. It's stupid expensive. It's,
yeah. I mean, I know TSS is expensive. I've never priced turkey loads, so I don't know.
It's crazy. And I'm like, they can only be so freaking dead. So it's like, why do you need to spend $80 when you've got some of the mid grade stuff, which is, you know, $30 for a box of 5 or so, or some of those are $30 for a box of 10. That you can still shoot that out to 40 yards and still freaking whack them.
Here's the price that you pay for it. You're buying confidence. I mean, I patterned a lead load, 3.5 inch number 6 Federal. It's 2.5 ounces. And then I got some Apex Ninjas, which is 2.5 ounces, 3.5 inch number 9s. And at 40 yards, I had only 26 BBs in the head and a 10-inch circle.
Only?
The TSS was 142 at 40 yards. It was quite a 98% pattern density at 40 yards. So you're buying confidence in that shell. So whatever price that you pay of going out there and seeing a bird either run off like a roadrunner or you go and you flop him. Like last year, I shot one at like 23 yards with that TSS load. Did I need that?
No, a little bit overkill. I shot him with
the skeet load. But I knew he wasn't going to get out of that beehive of what I just sent down range. I mean, there's like 700 something BBs in that shell. If he's getting out of that, that's a problem on me. That's not a shell problem. So it's like, you guys want to pay the money, the $70 for the box? Because turkey loads, you're not going to, like here in Oklahoma, I'll have the same box of shells for 5 years.
You can only kill one
bird. You know, because I can only kill one bird. So $14 a shot, it's not not crazy. Besides, when I throw one at paper, then, you know, just to see what it does.
Yeah.
So yeah, I say again, it just kind of goes back to confidence in your shot and really knowing. So, like, last year, I think it was probably in March or February, patterned it, and with my 870, even at 20 yards, it tends to shoot a little high, at least with that the turkey choke in. And like, if I'd had a bird come into 15 yards and I'd, you know, held that bead a little too high, I may have actually even shot over his head. So again, it's just that really knowing what your shot is actually going to do downrange.
And the environment too. I've talked to a lot of people, especially in the Southeast, that will consider their shot on what type of environment they're hunting in. If they're hunting in a thicket or if they're hunting in a clearing.
Yeah.
Because they may have to take a longer shot versus a shorter shot. So they'll buy a couple different boxes because they think that this is going to be a little bit more effective for that field as compared to,
and a couple,
I'm going to be 10 yards away from the bird.
And a couple boxes of turkey loads gets real expensive.
Right.
Box, you're already
real freaking quick.
$120 to $160.
Oh, my gosh. You're buying
the quality stuff.
And storage, too. I'm not forget about that piece. Because you go and buy two boxes to figure out which shell works best for you, and then you put it in a shed like a lot of people do, let it sit for a year. You come back, and it's all rusted out.
Oh, yeah. No, they stay in my turkey vest.
Right.
I keep my vest in, like, a climate-controlled area.
Oh, yeah. I suggest that highly. But, I mean, that's, you know, in Florida, a lot of people have those sheds that you buy from Walmart, or not Walmart, but Lowe's or Home Depot, and you put it in the back of the yard. Or that big Connex, right, that doesn't hold, that holds moisture during the summertime, just because the houses aren't very big there, and we have a big salt problem.
Yeah.
So that eats up a lot of our stuff.
The ocean's kind of sucks.
So it can get expensive.
Yeah.
But out of a lot of people, turkey hunters really tend to pattern their guns more than waterfowlers, which is obviously something we're trying to change. So for instance, Christian has a Winchester SX4 20 gauge, brand new, and we shot it last weekend.
We think brand new. Let's see if it patterns.
Yeah. And just with the factory mod, and at 25 yards there was goose size holes.
It's the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
He didn't get within 6 inches of his aim point.
Yeah.
With a single BB. And it's kind of sad because I guarantee you within the last month, I don't know how many people have gone out there.
That's and probably today.
Yeah. 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 He tried to claim that mallard hen. There's no way. He didn't even move a feather. But I guarantee you people have gone out with that same gun within the last month. They're brand new. They probably got it for freaking Christmas and went and tried to shoot. And they could have had mallards at 15 yards and
still missed them
and not done a freaking thing. I mean, may not have even scared the mallard. It may have just sat back down and go, I don't know what just happened.
Yeah.
But it like, we tested, we had one of our 20 gauge packs and I think we shot 5 or 6 different shells and then we just stopped because it was like, clearly it's not the shell. It is like, it is the gun. We tried to go to,
it's a hit and miss with those factory chokes.
Yeah. But we tried to go to a local store to go get a choke before the hunt the next morning, and we didn't. So he ended up, like, it was so bad where he used my 870 because it was like, there's no way we're
going to hit anything.
No. And then I think 2 days later, he shot one at, like, 12 feet. So it wouldn't have mattered at that point.
Well, I will say it was impressive hunting with you guys yesterday, and whenever a crippled hit and y'all would shoot, like, you could see your pattern around the bird instead of, like, you just see, you know, wide spray of pellets. Like, it was a good pattern on the bird. So, I mean, it was impressive to see that, you know, except Christian never did that. He'd kind of let y'all clean up, so.
Well, he shot his phallus gun.
Phallus gun.
There was a cripple at probably,
is that a brand?
Yeah, look it up. 70 yards, and he goes, let's see what this pattern does. And he shot, and it was like one or two kind of like to the left and the right, and then it was like 12 feet past it. And there was like nothing anywhere else. And he goes, all right, I'm going to stop wasting ammo. He put the gun down and just was like, we'll let the dog get it.
I like to think it's constant learning, right? You're always teaching yourself.
You would think you would learned a lesson at this point. So just like self-abuse.
I want to, this is the first time we've kind of all hung out in person, which it's been a blast, but I want to kind of get y'all's take on, you guys are fairly new to the industry, quote unquote industry. Yeah. You know, I'd love to hear you guys, your take on what it's been like breaking into the waterfowl industry, the hunting industry, and kind of the progress and growth you've seen and what you kind of expect going forward.
It's honestly been super refreshing. We've talked to Brody's had several conversations like with Ramsey Russell and Brad Heidel from Delta Waterfowl, and some guys that have some serious standing. And both, like, immediately they saw value in it. We've been talking with Boss and Migra and Apex, and the guys who are real serious about it, like including you guys, like immediately saw the value and like this will make a real difference in it. And it's just been cool to see that we've got a chance to like make a difference in it, and like combined with you guys. Like your red band only using 15 shells, it's because, hey, not only am I going to know what my shot's doing, but now I better be freaking conscious of what it is. Like I shot it at a wood duck twice today and like took feathers off of it, but I wasn't like dead certain I was going to kill it in the third shot. I'm like, better not. So it's been cool to really kind of see it. And I texted Brody a couple weeks ago. I'm like, dude, it's eye opening. Putting stuff on paper.
Oh, yeah.
You really start to see it. And, like, I don't think people understand how far 40 yards is trying to hit a duck. Like, there was a Woody out there today at probably 45 on the water, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah, like he's on the other side of the hole.
That's just going to be a waste of a shell most of the time.
Or a crippled bird that you don't get back.
Yeah, because he was so far. Or
shells, you know, trying to get him if he's skimming.
Exactly.
But it was a year of learning for us because this was all so new. But I think 24 is really going to be a year for growth for us. We're going to get a chance to do it. Probably our goal is to do at least two expos. We're going to go to the DU one, or not the DU, Delta Waterfowl in Baton Rouge in July.
That'll be a good one.
It's going to be real hot down there.
Yes.
And yeah, it's going to be inside, though, I think. Heat.
And then the other one we really want to do is the Waterfowl Festival up in Easton, Maryland.
What about in February? Y'all going to do anything in February?
Yes, we are going to the NWTF Expo there in Nashville. We won't have a booth. It was kind of last minute. But all three of us will be there. And so we'll be rocking around. That'll be pretty cool. And that's right about the same time that we should be finished up with our actual turkey boxes.
Perfect timing.
So that'll be pretty cool to see it.
We're also doing the one in Alabama in Birmingham too, right? What was it? The big
Was it the World Deer Expo?
Yeah, the World Deer Expo.
That's the last weekend of.
Okay. Do you have something to say?
It's. I mean, I feel like you're dealing with a bunch of deer hunters. If it says World Deer Hunter,
that's the majority of people in Alabama.
Words don't mean anything.
Yeah, we can't even read.
NWTF has call maker contest for ducks.
We don't go to the Big Buck Classic. If that tells you anything,
yeah.
Why not?
But if you're a duck hunter,
we've never been invited.
No, I think it's only. We have a guy who's kind of starting to help us do a little bit of marketing. He mentioned it. And so Christian's you're only 2 hours from there?
Yeah.
So he was like, dude, like I'll probably just drive down.
There's good turkey hunting in Alabama. So I would imagine that it's going to be a good place to go.
There's a good crossover.
There's a good bit of duck hunters in Northern Alabama.
There's
a good bit of duck hunters in Northern Alabama. So I mean they're not nearly like they are in Oklahoma or in Arkansas. But I mean,
you
just
wait till you listen back to this podcast.
Yeah. Doppler effect over here. But yeah, never. I mean, we're going to try to be there and just show face. And if anybody is a duck hunter in Alabama, reason to stop by.
Or at least turkey hunter.
When is that one?
Or, yeah, I mean, turkey hunter.
It's the weekend after the Delta Waterfowl one.
I believe it's in July.
I think it's, July. I think it's the
summertime.
This is the last weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, not going to that one. Not me. You guys got this.
No, Christian's going to it. We've already sacrificed
We're sending
him.
One representative.
That's it. That's all you need, baby.
So if you guys see the guy with the bald spot and the beard, go get a free sticker from him.
That's if right. he looks lost, please help
That's
him.
That's me.
Yeah.
We'll have his emergency contact put in his wallet for him.
He's going to have a lost bracelet on, so just read it and call us and let us know what he's doing. And then we'll come and pick him up. We'll have him evacuated really quick.
Tyler had to walk around, walk away from the table. He's got some issues going on.
Walked too much the last 2 days. He's the Charlie horsed over here.
He's cramping, man. He needs a Powerade.
Oh, shoot. Well, guys, we really appreciate y'all coming on. We appreciate y'all coming to hunt with us.
No, we appreciate
y'all are going to get to hunt again in the morning. I don't even know if I'm going to be here in the morning to hunt again. I hope so. I don't know. We might try this afternoon. I don't know.
We'll get a swing.
Let's
by
do
Max.
It.
I got to get some hand warmers before I go back to -3 in Oklahoma.
So. I think we need to tell Forrest to call in sick to his wife.
Oh, it's not that.
But I had something. So I think we always talk about duck numbers are down, and honestly, I don't know if this is a valid thing. But obviously, over the last 20 years, we've seen the goose numbers absolutely explode. And like Forrest, you were saying earlier, is like we've got this conservation season, but they continue to just rise and rise and rise. I don't understand why we don't either just raise the limits or extend the season for
ducks or geese.
No, for geese. Geese. No. I know you guys don't have any ducks in Arkansas other than the six we killed today.
That was all six in the state.
Yeah, we're done. Hey, we limited for the whole state. But it's like, you know that those geese push ducks off of feeds, which makes it harder for ducks. Yeah, absolutely. Science. that's just been kind of on my mind where I'm like, why don't we raise the limits on geese? Because clearly they're not, I mean, we saw tens of thousands yesterday in one field, and there were... Every field we're in, we're seeing a bunch.
So correct me, the individual limit of snow geese at this point in the season? 20
per person.
20 per person. 3 specks per person.
Correct.
So it's not. I don't necessarily believe it's a limit issue. I think it is a. There was nobody hunting. It's an access. And yes, Tyler hit the nail on the head. It's access to where those geese are issues.
That's part of it, but you also got to think about this. Katy, Texas used to be the white goose capital of the world.
Okay.
They're not anymore. They don't kill them like what they used to.
Do they push east?
Louisiana used to have tons and tons of specks and snows.
And they're not there
But
anymore.
They're not there the same way because of farming practices. So where have most of those birds
congregated?
Arkansas's picked up a lot more of those birds due to because we have the food for them, and the farming practices in Louisiana they don't have the same food source anymore, so those birds have to find it somewhere else. So I you would have to talk to somebody that really has studied it a lot, but I would say that the reason we see so many here is because we've picked up so many from other places. The total population, I honestly don't know one way or another, if it's grown exponentially or if it's grown just enough to where they're having to do a conservation. So,
and this is where I love people like Brent Birch, who has so much knowledge about
sportsman
that
podcast.
Species. Yes. But I think about it a lot. Something Brent said a while ago, last time we talked to him, was that everybody treats them like a nuisance. And so that's what we're dealing with is we're dealing with people that hunt geese like a nuisance.
He was talking about specks related to snows because we treat snows like a nuisance, but we've started hunting specks the same way.
Yes. So I think there has to be a change in mentality and approach to the way we hunt geese to really kind of help, I'd say, manage that population.
So if it is just a if it's just, you know, the geese have just kind of become more centralized in terms of, you know, they're only in certain spots, then that's one thing. But if the numbers have gotten so bad, why don't we, I mean, they still have got the freaking conservation seasons where they can, there's no limits, there's no plugs. So they're still obviously trying to knock down the numbers. Like, why don't they just continue? Like, why don't they have that throughout the whole year instead of, I would say most of the time it's hard to kill freaking 20, but I'm sure there are times where guys are like, man, I could have killed a bunch more. Like, I mean, I don't know, because yesterday was my first. Yeah. Yesterday was my first.
Well, I've got a question hunt for you then, because I've heard this multiple times from biologists.
Ask away for us.
Hunters only contribute a small portion to when we kill birds. Yeah. Like, we don't really actually hurt the population as bad as predators do, right? So why in the world do we have all the limits?
For what?
For everything. What I'm saying, if predators are doing more damage than what hunters are doing, why are we regulating?
Well, I think we should go back to...
Can't we classify ourselves as predators?
I mean, we are predators, yes.
We're the apex predators.
But it's just something that was brought up last week about all these, the biologists that say that hunters don't kill enough to actually do that sort of a detriment to the population.
Well, the predator,
yes, some populations, yes, pintails, for example, but before the season, they were talking about no pintails for this year, possibly, and now they've already put out an article saying that they're going to raise the pintail limit for next year.
Should we look back towards in history with the market hunting days? I mean, like, since there wasn't any regulations, and then it did get down to so bad, so could play into it? Because, I mean, like, market hunting days, they're like... Kicked it off a lot, so I guess that would be a look at us being the predator. I mean, essentially.
Well, then I think the predators, they probably they're doing the most damage is they when during nesting season.
Yeah.
So I think that's really what hurts numbers is.
Oh, it is
that.
It's just something that I have caught on to.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't like it when they say that. When they say that hunters
all
don't
hunters?
Do.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's.
I'm not a big fan of that because then you bring in debate.
That's when you're like, hey, government, maybe, and I, you know, most of us here, we don't want government intervention for just about anything. Brody, go stand outside. But it's like, that's when you're like, hey, incentivize guys to go out and predator hunt or allow landowners to allow that. Because most of these farmers out here, a lot of them have either cattle or chicken, and I'm sure none of those guys want foxes and coyotes and bobcats out there. So if you could incentivize that, and honestly, I'd say probably coons are a big issue because stealing eggs. But
I would say over the last 2 or 3 years, predator hunting has become more prevalent and a little bit more at the forefront of some people's thoughts.
Do you think it's because the thermal scopes are more?
Yes. Accessible.
Go get thermal scopes. They're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I got to do some over the last couple weeks, and it is glorious.
I feel like we have seen an increase in the number of predator hunters over the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years.
Well, if social media makes it look fun, more people will do it.
Exactly.
So we need.
That's why we got so many.
We need flatbills and alpacas. flatbills and alpacas.
Duck hunting.
Go shoot.
Hunting is not fun.
Yes. You don't have to. You don't have to wake up early to go predator hunting.
No, not at all.
It's very true.
Stay up all night.
You already stay up late.
Oh, Forrest, it's you.
What? Close it out.
Forrest and Barry are staring each other in the eyes.
Okay, so thanks for coming on, guys. We had a great time. We're gonna go have some more fun. Hopefully, trying to shoot something else for all you out there listening. Go subscribe, like, however you do all that social media stuff. Y'all know it better than we do.
Where can we find Pattern Pros at?
PatternProsUSA.com.
You just told me to close out. Getting in my way.
Well,
Pattern Pros. Where do we find you guys at?
You find us on Instagram, Pattern Pros, and then Facebook, Pattern Pros USA. Website, PatternProsUSA.com.
Yep.
So, speak fast.
Be a better hunter.
Yep.
Please don't suck.
Thank y'all for y'all's service, by the way.
Appreciate your support.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's how you do it. You say you're welcome.
Yeah.
Is that it? See y'all later.